So how is everyone doing this morning? Doing good, huh? I tell you, there's been so many good things happening in the Lord. I tried to sleep last night. I slept for the first few hours, probably 3 hours or so. And then after that, I was just flooded with all kinds of things concerning the church. Let's see. I don't know if they could, can they see that board on there? Or does it have to be turned or my chair moved or something? Can you guys online see the board? Can you read what's on it? I didn't hear. You can, huh? Okay. Good, good. Hey, there's some important things that we're going to try and give you this morning. I would like everyone to pay close attention this morning to what we're going to be saying to you. I think it's very important for you to understand that there are times that there are certain, what's the term I want to use? Certain things that are coming against the church. And when I say coming against the church, I'm talking about us here. That's what I know of. You guys are in my world, right? All of you are. Every one of you are in my world. How many of you remember the vision God gave me? I'm just going to tell you part of it about the sword and my world being congealed around that sword and me pointing that sword toward the bright light that had the wings ascending into heaven and all kinds of power coming from that back through the sword, through that world, and back into this hand. And that's all because of Jesus. Jesus is the one that does all of that. And that's who's rising to the heavens with the wings. What does it say in one scripture? It says the sun rising with healing in his wings. I think that's what it is. Well, we know it spells it S-U-N, like the sun we see in the sky. But isn't he brighter than that noonday sun? Is he the creator of that? And when does our sun have wings on it? You know, it does. It's the sun rising, the brightness of the sun rising in the sky. So I wanted to show you something today. I want you to think about this. And I thought I'd demonstrate it because that seems to help people sometimes. First, the number one thing is that we love you. We never tell you things that God has given us for you through counsel or for things that we're showing you a way because you're caught in some kind of way. Have you ever been caught and then a word comes to you and you're freed? Yep. That I know that's true because I was caught at one time and a word came to me and freed me. It freed me. Was there a battle that ensued before the freedom? Oh, yeah. Because you battle with the thoughts in your own world, don't you? And it freed me. And when I was free, it is the most glorious feeling when you have freedom in the things of God. I mean, it just freed me from it. People think that the elders have never been through anything. How many times have you heard Gary's testimony about all the different things? Well, I went through all of that, too. I went through so much things concerning religion and having lust and having pride and wanting to be seen of men and all that kind of stuff, false humility, all of those things worked in me. And God pulled me through it all. He gave me a freedom by just coming against those things, okay? Very important. So I want you to think about something. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God, does it not? So it talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It talks about all of those, right? And then it talks about the sword of the Spirit. What is the difference about this compared to everything else that's listed? Anybody figure it out? What is it?
I would say that can only kill the flesh, but it can't kill the Spirit.
I take partially with that. I'm thinking about something a little bit more, too. Yes, it can. Where is that from, Terry? Anybody remember where that's from? Hebrews what? 4:12. What does it say? And sharper than any what? This thing is very sharp. So what does it do? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? Okay, I'm going to go back to that thing, and I'm going to tell you why I pulled this out. I want you to actually have something in your mind to say, not for you, Julian. I want you to actually see what I'm talking about here. You know, you look at a sword, and it talks about a double-edged sword, but this is a Marine Corps sword that is very sharp. The thing is that there are, wrong other way? Maybe it is. There you go. The sword is the only offensive weapon in that scripture. Think about what I just said. There's the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, but then it's the sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon that's listed, isn't it? The others are all for protection or preservation or whatever it may be. That's the only offensive weapon. So what does it do? What does it do, Terry? You think that does it through the Spirit? Has to be. It's not talking about something natural. It's dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. Why is that important, the joints and the marrow? What does the scripture tell us about the joints? The whole body fitly joined together by those, whatever the joint supplieth. It's what makes you stand upright. It's what gives you the ability to have balance and to walk and so forth. All of those joints, if the joints weren't there, you'd be like a jelly man. You know, you wouldn't be able to stand, you wouldn't be able to do anything, but the joints supplieth those things for you to have the balance in the Lord and to be able to walk, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, for you to walk and do the things of God. The bone in the marrow in the bone is what gives your bones strength. Isn't that true? It makes blood cells, it helps things to grow. There's a thing called an oocyte, and what it does, it makes up the, what you know, when you start talking about bone structure, they start talking about you have to go to an orthopedic surgeon or somebody, right? And so all of that, those things make up the strength of the bone from that marrow. Very important. And what happens is that's where you get strength in the bone. I remember Jeremiah said one time, it's like fire shut up in my bones. What was he talking about? The Word of God. So this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, so we know that for a fact, huh? So the sword of the Spirit, that Spirit has got to be the, what is it? What is it? It's the truth. It's the Word of God. What'd you say? Word of God. It's that glorified Christ that's in that Word. And that's what causes him to be able to divide the things that he divides. Sharpen the two-edged sword. That's why it can discern the thoughts of your heart. You need something that can divide that. That is a spiritual offensive weapon, is it not? It's spiritual about what God is doing. So, you see, I wrote up here, this is called conversion to righteousness. The sword of the Spirit is what brings the truth to you. It's that offensive weapon. When a lie comes to you, you can, if you're having your mind on Christ, if you believe God, that sword of the Spirit can come and show the intent of that thing, show everything that's going on with it, and cut it out. It can cut close, can't it? It can cut between soul and spirit, which are spiritual things. How in the world could that happen unless there is a anointed Christ doing the work? He is that sword, guys. He is the sword of the Spirit. He's the one that's going to cut. He is the Word of God. Is that not right? It says he's the Word. So there's another thing I was talking to you about last week, and here's what I wanted to tell you. I was talking about the doctrine, the reproof, the correction, instruction in righteousness. We were talking about that because there are people struggling right now in doing the right thing. They've been told certain things, and there's been many of you I've talked to here recently. They've been told certain things to help them to overcome certain things that are coming into their life that are hindering them, all right? So we speak these things to them, okay? Now, let me show you what's been happening. God's actually shown me this. So you speak things to people to try to help them to overcome. There are things that you've seen in them, you counsel them and so forth, but then something starts to come in that changes it. I want to show you how close you are to converting that thing that the man of sin or the devil tries to bring you into the thing of God. You are so close to making the right decision, so close to doing the right thing. And like I said, I've talked to probably at least four or five people recently here where they have to make decisions about things that they've allowed in their life. So I'm going to show you that. You see how thin this line is right here? It says conversion on it. That's a thin line because that's how close you are to crossing that line and doing the right thing. We've been talking about what the last few weeks? Righteousness. So this is why it's important for you to look at what I'm saying right now. So the sword of the Spirit is working, right? And that's going to bring truth to the situation that maybe I counseled you on or showed you some things on or showed you that there was something, an hindrance in you that's keeping you from walking with God totally. Hey, guys, it's never one thing, is it? There's many things. We may have started off with one thing. This may be the start for you to start doing the right thing, okay? So this sword of the Spirit is working, but it brings truth. Now, when it brings truth, let me tell you what starts to happen. As soon as I start speaking to you about the thing that God has shown me and I've discerned, then there's something that starts to pop up. And let me show you what it is. Usually, it's offense. That makes sense, doesn't it? So you're talking to the person because you love them and you know there's a spirit working there. So the first thing that pops up, what is that spirit going to try to do? I have flesh, devil, and man of sin written in the middle here, don't I? Are they going to do what first? They're going to bring this up first, aren't they? There's going to be an offense. You may be angry a little bit. There could be even condemnation working in you because of what I said, the things that I spoke to you. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not, I just said what I said. What if I told you it's what the Lord said and told me to tell you? What the Lord said and revealed. What the Lord said because he wants to try to heal you. What the Lord said because he loves you, right? But you take it because you're taking it through the flesh, and what comes up first? Offense. You may even get angry about it. Condemnation. Then there may be guilt. All kinds of guilt will come forth, okay? And then fear. And Ernest used to say something that used to crack me up. He said, put you on blast, right? Well, what are you really saying? They're shaming me in front of everybody. Is that kind of like what it is? But did it help you, Ernest? A lot. So fear and shame. And there's a fear of not wanting to be put on blast. Isn't that true? That I don't want anybody to know I have this in me. Or I don't want anybody to know that the pastor talked to me about this. I don't want anybody to know that I have a problem. I don't want anybody to know because I'm putting up a front that I got it. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Well, that's not it. If God reveals something, he's revealing it for a purpose. So fear, shame, and then comes the accusation. Why are you doing this? Why are you even talking to me about this, PK? Why are you even talking to me about what we're talking about right now? It's kind of a funny thing. A door may have been opened, and God allowed me to see something through that door. I'm going to walk through that door, guys. You know why? What did I just tell you? Whose world are you in? You're in my world. Who's part of the epistle that I'm writing? All of you are. I don't care who you are here. Julian's part of it. My grandson's part of it. Everybody in here is part of the epistle I'm writing. Whether you accept it or go along with it doesn't matter. You're still part of it. Because what are we going to continue to strive to do? Give you the word of God that's going to help you to overcome and become what God wants you to be in your life. We put so much emphasis on what we want to be in our life. And I'm not saying these things I'm getting ready to mention are wrong. We even teach it to our kids. We say we want you to always, you know, get your education, do what you have to do so that you can go to college and make your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let that be preeminent above God. Did you hear what I just said? Always teach your children about God first, because when all of that stuff that they learn, the jobs that they have and all that stuff, when that all fades to dust for some reason, God's not going to ask them, well, what kind of job did you do when you worked at the factory? You think God's concerned about that? No. Do you think when you're on your deathbed, you're going to say, man, I wish I could have made another $1 million? You think that's what you're going to be thinking about? I'm going to tell you what you're going to be thinking about. If you have $1 million, you would give it up to get 10 more seconds of life. That's what you would do. You see where I'm going with this? The things we do here, not saying they're wrong. What I'm saying is, where's your priority? What is your priority? Now, we just talked about kids and how we want to raise our kids to do better and do the best that they can, make a good life and all of that. Now I'm going to bring it down to you. What about you and God? What is your relationship with God to the point where you can accept when God shows you things about yourself, and then you can say, gosh, I'm offended. I'm offended that was even mentioned to me. I'm angry. I heard some word I felt like was directed at me. Somebody came up to me a couple of weeks ago. My wife's laughing because she knows it's true. Somebody came up to me a couple of weeks ago and they said, you were talking about me and you were saying this and that because of me. I said, I'm going to tell you something here, and I usually don't tell people other things I'm dealing with other people. I said, but there's at least 4 people that have the same problem you're having right now in the church. Oh, and then it showed them out. It shows that, well, wait a minute, you were directing everything at me. No, I wasn't. God gave me something to speak to the congregation because there was a significant number in the congregation dealing with that problem. But no, we take it unto ourselves. It's all about, what did Christy preach in that message? All about me. Remember when she taught that? That's how you feel. You think it's about you and your flesh. Let me tell you something. Everything we say is not directed at one person. I'm going to say it this way. Please don't take it wrong. What makes you think you're so important that I would make a message up or God would give me a message just about you? Oh, he can say something directly about one person. Guess what I would do? I would take you in counseling on that. I don't have to tell the whole congregation. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So now, if I'm going to do something like that, you better start figuring that there's more than one person that's dealing with that. And God opens my understanding to show me that, gosh, this is something that's affecting several people in the congregation. And sometimes, oh, don't let it blow your mind. Could somebody turn that fan on for me? Don't let it blow your mind. It has something to do with me. Because what did I tell you? Who am I preaching to? I'm preaching to me first. So what makes you think it's all about you? It could be about me. I'm part of it. God is showing me something in my world that has to be dealt with. Wow. But you're the elder. Yeah, that's why I am. Because God's brought enough stuff to me to be able to show me what's in my world and what's in me. And I had a mind to say, Lord, I want you to change it. I want you to convert it and make me better. That's what I wanted God to do. So yeah, as he sees things here, he's going to see things here too. Because like I told you, you're all part of my world. I'm in you and you're in me. So would God do that? Oh, yes, he would do that. He knows it all, guys. So, I told you something, and you said you got offended at it. You got angry at it. You condemned. You're speaking words about me. You're accusing me. You're putting me on blast. All that stuff. No, I'm not. There's a bunch of people that need it, okay? So, but I want to show you how close you are to some things. So, the flesh and the devil and the man of sin will bring these things up, the offense, the anger, the condemnation, the guilt. There's even a fear there. I don't want nobody to know. There's a fear, right? It's something you've been dealing with. And I said, wait a minute, you've been dealing with this for a long time. We need to bring this thing out because other people are dealing with it too. So it may be fear. It may be shame. It may be accusation. Have any of you ever been ashamed of something you've done in your life and sometimes it still yet bothers you? Or maybe there's something that you're not quite doing in the Lord that you know you should do and you feel ashamed about it? There are several of you that are dealing with different things concerning shame. Let me tell you something. God answers all of that. God tells you he can make things work for you where you have no shame whatsoever. What did Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation, because that's what God's trying to do. That shame that you have, he's trying to help you to overcome it so that you can bring yourself to a fullness of salvation. Does that make sense? That's why it's coming up. You're running from it, or you have fear of it because you don't want people to know. God's saying, I'm trying to convert you, and you don't know how close you are to the conversion. Now, let me bring that up. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So these things are working, right? The offense, the anger, the condemnation, all that. The flesh is bringing that up. The devil's bringing it up. Who has condemnation? The devil. He's trying to make you part of his condemnation. Man of sin, does he put that thought forth too? That you're guilty, that you should be ashamed, that you messed up, that you're still a sinner. Doesn't he always bring that up? He tries to convict you of your very thoughts, does he not? So all of that is working. Let me show you something. When it's working, I'm going to show you how close you are to conversion where you can make that thing of none effect. How close you are, okay? So we brought out the sword. The sword's working, right? The only offensive weapon. Is it always on the offense against the wicked? Yes. Always on the offense against the wicked. It wants to separate things in you, even your very thought, your soul, your spirit. It's on the offense all the time. He's cutting that. Who was good with a sword among the disciples? Who was good? Peter. Man, he was so good with that thing, he could cut the ear off and not touch the head. He was good, wasn't he? And Jesus bent over, picked it up, put it back on Malchus's ear, didn't he? He picked it up, put it right back. And he told him to put up his sword, because there was another sword he wanted him to start using. Not the sword that we use when we're in the flesh. Because what we want to do, we want to cut other people up when it doesn't please us. Isn't that true? We want to get somebody because they offended us. We want to do this. We want to do that. Use the wrong sword. Wrong sword, right? But when you use the sword of the Spirit, God knows how to do it, because that is the convicted and converted Christ. Not convicted. What's the word I want to use? The converting Christ, the one that can convert. Isn't that true with that sword? So how does that happen? If he's cutting and cutting away the things that pertain to soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and shows you the thoughts and intents of the heart, he knows how to do it good because it's spiritual, okay? So this is what happens. I told you last week that all the Word of God, all the Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Dan mentioned it this morning. He said, it's the breath of God he put in you, isn't it? It's the breath of God he put in you. That's what he was talking about. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. So what is doctrine? If you really had to break it down, it is teaching. It's teaching you what's right and what's wrong. It's also teaching you what has wisdom and understanding and what doesn't. What's righteous, what's unrighteous. By that doctrine, you can work these things out. If you get an understanding of something that you didn't have an understanding of before, the doctrine is working. You see how that works? It brings the wisdom and understanding of it. It teaches you the difference between what your flesh says and what God is saying. That's what it does. That's the doctrine of it. Okay, then it comes to reproof. So the doctrine comes and shows you what's right. And if you're not in that place that's right, God, what is God going to do? He's going to reprove you. Now, what does it say about reproof? It's the way of life. So what would you get offended and mad and upset at if it's the way of life? God is bringing you a way of life that'll help you to overcome what that thing is that's bothering you in God. Isn't that true? It's going to bring that. The reproof shows you this is the way of life. You were going one way, I'm going to have you turn and go another way in repentance. And you're going to get a different thought. I'm going to convert the thought of evil and do what with it? He's going to redeem it, isn't he? He's going to convert it. Okay, so now here's the other thing. Correction. So does God have to correct us sometimes? The Scripture says, and I don't know if I'm quoting it right, happy is the man that allows God to perform correction on him. Happy is the man. Why is he happy? He's been corrected from something that might have taken him to death. He's happy about that now. He can rejoice over that now. Say, whew, I was heading this way, a certain death in hell. God corrected me, and now I'm heading another way. You see, it's all part of that reproof too, isn't it? You get corrected. And then it says, how does it put it? Instruction in righteousness. Wait a minute. So he actually instructs you about what you should do to choose the right thing. All of those things we talked about last week, didn't we? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Then you can rejoice when you do that. It's the way of life, happiness, because you've been corrected. How many people are happy when they're corrected? See, this is what you need to learn. God is doing this because he loves you. He's correcting you. He said, happy is the man. That's going to be the man that understands why God did it, isn't it? Because then he can be happy. I'm telling you something right now, guys. There was a time I was not happy years ago about anything God was correcting me on. I just didn't like it. It came through sometimes other people or whatever it is, or maybe something God just started dealing with me in my mind about and said, and then I felt, almost condemned. I said, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be thinking that. And I didn't like it. You know what about what it does now for me? As soon as God corrects me on something, I was corrected in something a couple of weeks ago. He just brought it to me. He said, no, it's not like that. It's like this. Thank you, God. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I rejoice. I'm happy when God corrects me now. Happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. You get happy. I rejoice when I'm reproved because it shows me, okay, you were going this way, and now I'm turning you to go another way in thought, and I just saved you from going the wrong way. Would you rejoice about that? How many of you like to go into a city that you don't know and you get lost? That's one of the worst feelings in the world, man, I think. Going to a strange city, you're lost. You're trying to take this direction, that direction. You even ask some of the people that live there and they give you wrong directions. Has that ever happened to you? There was a lady that gave us such bad directions in Newark, I think it was. We went to Newark and said, no, you do this and do this and you'll come to the bridge and get out. Newark's a rough place, guys. We were driving through there, and people were walking in front of the car just slowly and just looking at you, like they're daring you to move forward. And they were all sitting out on the stoop, and they were all looking at us going by. And what did we have that time? We had a Lexus, I think, a black Lexus. And we're going through Newark, and they're all walking. They just all walk, and they're just looking. It's almost like they're daring you to move forward. And when they would move out the way, I slowly keep going. When we finally got past that little error, we took off. And then what did we see? Saw a woman with a brick that did what? A woman with a brick walking past a bank, picked up a brick, threw it through the bank window. We went down a little ways. The cop was sitting right on the corner. Told him, say, hey, the lady just threw a brick. Okay. He didn't do nothing. That lets you know that is a rough place. Cop says, okay. Here in Yuma, we say, oh, somebody threw a brick through the bank window. They're going to get up and go and do something about it. This guy, he just looked at us. Thank you. Didn't move, didn't do nothing. A cop. We knew we were in a rough place, Ernest. And we had to make it to that bridge to leave Newark, cross that bridge. And we were so glad when we saw that bridge. We stepped on the gas, didn't we, Mom, when we got to the bridge. Because that separates from normal people on the other side. But it was something. It taught us something. It taught us something. We were lost in a city we did not know, and we went to a place we should not have been. Oh, my God. But we got out of there. The Lord blessed us. We got out of there. That was neat, you know. But we remember that. We laugh about it now, but we remember that. You know, what was happening. So I'm just trying to tell you, your conversion point is so close when these things start happening to you. What if I told you that God comes to convert if you believe, have faith, you trust, and obey? If you just obey that word that was given to you, if you have faith in it, if you have trust it, if you believe the word that's just been given to you, guess what God does? You're right on this line. You can go this way and stay offended and whatever. But if you go this way and rejoice at what you just heard and accept the wisdom and understanding of it, you know what God's going to do? He's going to convert that thought. All it is a line you have to go the right way on. That's it. It's that thin, too, by the way. You can go this way. Oh, PK shouldn't have said that to me. Really? What if you go this way? Ooh, I got a little reproof and correction. I rejoice at that. God sealed my understanding of that, and now I've converted that thought. That's how thin the line is. It's right there. So when you're saying, when you're getting all angry and upset because of what you've been told, and 9 times out of 10, what you've been told is the truth. The other 1% of the time I say it isn't is when you don't accept it and you have a personal thing against the person giving it to you, and then you don't accept it as truth. You think it's coming from a flesh to you, and that's your thought. That's not the person's thought. That's your thought. But all these other ones, you'll be able to see that and say, you know what? That is right, what he's telling me. That is right. And if you can accept that and get the instruction in righteousness, let the wisdom and understanding come into it, and then you say, now I understand what they're talking about. This is why he's talking to me like that. This is why he's trying to help me. You just converted from this to this. See how close it is? It's a matter of thought. I'm talking to you from heaven about what God wants to do in you. And if you can just come to the place where you can get out of flesh, if you can get out of that lie that that devil's telling you, if you can get out of the influence of the man of sin, you're just that close to conversion. See why I wrote it like this? You're that close. You just, all you got to do is flip the right way in thought. That's all you have to do. So you said, wait a minute, he told me that to help me, not to hurt me. You see how that works? To help me, not to hurt me. Now, what did the Pharisees do with Jesus when he told them stuff? How did they feel about it? Always offended. His disciples told him one time after he'd healed somebody and then he spoke some words and he was walking away, the disciples came up to Jesus and they said, know ye not that the Pharisees were offended? Jesus already knew they were offended. He didn't even address that. He starts talking about what you need to do to start getting your life in order if you follow him. But they wouldn't do that, would they? They would not do that. Sometimes they actually saw the work of God work in their midst, like when he healed or something. And then they said what? What did they say? He did it by a devil. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Jesus said, now, wait a minute. This we're not going to let pass. We're not going to let pass, because what you're really saying, you're calling me a devil. He cast out this stuff by Beelzebub. So since he's the God of all judgment, the God that can do all things, what did he tell him? You have no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. They're going to have to go around twice, maybe eternity, two eternities, before they get a chance to even learn about the word of God again. He made an instant judgment because they attributed the work of God to a devil. Whew. And some of us get beyond ourselves and we do the same thing. You say, I'd never do that. Oh, yeah, you would. He lied to me. What he said to me was not true. It is true, but you're saying it's not true. Your flesh is telling you that. He has a devil. Maybe he has an issue with me. Maybe it's something personal. Let me tell you something. I don't have anything personal against anybody in here. And I tell you why. Because you don't have a heaven or a hell to put me in. Only God does. So you can condemn me, accuse me, do whatever you have. It doesn't work, because only God can do that. You see how that works? So I'm not worried about that. Please know that everything that I do is for your benefit, to help you, because we love you, not because we want to embarrass you or hurt you in any way. That's not what the thing is behind it. Remember that sword? It discerns the what? Thoughts and intents of the heart. So would I be judged in that, especially as an elder? And that sword is working in me too. You think the sword doesn't work in me? It works in all of us. I'm going to tell you one thing. I know how to wield that sword a little bit better than you do, because that's where I'm at right now. But no, does it work in me too? It definitely works in me. Has God cut things out of me that didn't belong there? You can be assured of it. Be assured of it, man. Because it works in all of us. It works in that world. I'm going to go back to that vision again. I'm holding my world in my left hand. I raise that sword, and it's a great looking sword. I come down in it, and split that world in two. Don't cut my hand or anything underneath. It goes right to the right spot. And then the world congeals around that sword. That whole world does. And I can't move it out of it. It congeals around the sword, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Christ. It congeals around it. And then I raise that thing up toward that thing rising in the sky. And next thing I know, there's all kinds of electricity and power and everything coming from that right down through that sword, through that world, and into my arm. And I realize God is leading me to have my world overcome. All the wickedness is going to come out of it. And if you're with me, it's going to come out of you too. You see how it works? It's not just about me. It's about what God has given me to be over, to preach to, starting here, to preach to discern in. Some of you think we can't discern certain things that are working in you. Yeah, we can. That's why we address you the way we do. Certain things have already been revealed. So why is this thing about offense coming up then? If God's directing it all, why would there be offense? Your flesh is rising up. That's why. Pride is rising up. Devil is upset. Isn't that true? You don't think the devil ever gets upset? He gets upset when we start winning, when we start knocking out the wicked, when that sword starts cutting that wicked down. You think he stays calm? He's going to get upset. And he's going to get upset through you if you're not aware. If you're not aware of those things that are working in you. I'm aware of a lot of things that are working in you, and I'm going to start addressing them. And we're addressing them because we want to help you, not hurt you in any way. And you know what? We're so close. Some of us think we're not close to God. And how have you seen the change in us kind of these last, especially the last year or two, how we're getting more zealous of the things of God? That's God doing that. That's God doing it. He's doing it through the word. You think of those lessons that come from Chicago and from Dave and from Brian and all that. Think about the word that's come. Look at those lessons Keith has been preaching and discerning that word coming out and giving you the right direction of the word. Look at the things that have been happening here. You know, people are changing. They're changing within themselves. The Spirit of God is taking more control in you as opposed to your flesh doing it all the time. You see great things starting to happen. You want them to continue to happen? They will. Because we're going to enter into that door that you open, and we're going to tell you. We're going to show you things that God has shown us because we love you, not because we hate you. And we want you to overcome and do this conversion. And I'm showing you how close you are. How close you are. When these things start happening, because the word comes and offends you, or we talk to you and offend, when that starts to happen, start changing your mind. Say, whoa, whoa, I'm close here now. I can get that thing converted. I can get it regenerated. You're right on the line, right then, when we're talking to you. So when you do all the huff and puff, get offended, condemnation, guilt, fear, shame, accusation, you start accusing us, whatever, because your flesh is speaking, all that stuff, all that huff and puff, it doesn't affect me. Huff and puff all you want. What did they say about that wolf and the three pigs? Huff and puff, and I'm going to blow your house down, right? It don't affect me. I'm going to continue to tell you the truth because I need to tell you the truth. If I don't, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I don't tell you the right thing in the gospel. You see how that works? Wow. Hey, Ernest, could you get that one verse? Because I want to be read right. It says, obey those that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. But I want you to read the whole thing. We have a responsibility to you guys, believe it or not, that you're not even aware of, and it's not on you. Guess who the responsibility is on? The shepherd. But I want you to listen to this. We need to tell you the things we tell you to save you. We're not saving you, but you can be saved by Jesus Christ, how he works. Is Christ in you? Can he just start leading you by his anointing and bring you to a place that you're saved? Yes. What does that say, Ernest?
Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
So they have to give in a what? What does it say? Give an account. We're doing this because God placed us here and made us what we are to be able to do it. You got a deacon over here that's very zealous of the things of God. You got a pastor that's zealous of the things of God. Sometimes to the point where I don't care about myself, about what I need and what I need to do. I'm more concerned about where you need to be. That's the key right now. We love you enough to say, man, I got to talk to them. I got to help them on their journey. It's as simple as that. And if God's given us the word, you better start believing that word that comes from heaven, that doctrine, that reproof, that correction, instruction, and righteousness. This is why I said this is the first word over here after the conversion. You got to believe. This word comes to you. Instead of getting upset, believe. Have faith. Trust it. Obey it. Start walking in it. And you'll see a great difference in what God's going to do. Now, this, remember it says that this would not be profitable to you, huh? This is all unprofitable up here. Every bit of it is unprofitable. When you start going into your flesh, unprofitable. You let the devil lie to you, it's unprofitable. There's no profit in it. The man of sin dealing with you, there's no profit in it. It is not profitable. What does it say about that? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. This is profitable. This is all profitable. Every bit of it. Take them one at a time, they're still profitable. This is all profitable to you. This is unprofitable. But I'm going to tell you what, the truth is going to come to this, and it's going to try to get you to a place where you can be profitable. Does that make sense? That truth, that sword of the Spirit, it's going to come to you with truth and will get you to a place where you can be profitable. So don't get upset when we start talking to you about the things that we've seen in you. That, and we know if you listen to us, you'll be made better. I'm just telling you, you will be better, much better. And once you overcome that thing, guess what we're going to do? We're going to take that sword again, bring it to another conversion point. That's what we're going to continue. You get that one. Now we're going to see how close you are. Flip. Let's flip it again. Let's do the next one. Let's get you out of this mess. That's unprofitable. Another thing comes up. We come again. Boom. Flip you into conversion, into regeneration. That's what we're going to do by speaking the truth to you. Isn't that true? And it's going to keep on and on until you become the man of God or woman of God you need to be. So I guess that's not going to stop, huh? It's going to continue on. We're going to keep converting and regenerating to bring you to the place that Christ wants you to be. You'll be anointed in it, and you will be the man and woman of God. You will be the anointed one. What does it say? 1 John 2:27. Actually, 2:26. Start reading at 2:26. Somebody get that? 1 John 2:26. This will be our last scripture here. But you get my point here. We're trying to convert you. We're trying to get the conversion done in you, the regeneration done. What does it say, Ernest?
These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him.
Wow. So is there an anointing in you? Did it say there was? There is. There's an anointing in you. This is very powerful. That anointing abides in you. And what we're trying to do is stir it up in you. I like when the waters are stirred. Anybody else like it? I love it when the waters are stirred because you know what? Something good's going to come out of it. There's going to be a healing that's going to come out of it. Sometimes I have to stir your waters. I have to stir them. And you might at first say, oh, I'm getting angry. I'm getting offended. I'm getting upset. I'm going to keep stirring until you get to the point where now I'm here to help you to convert. Let's regenerate this thing until that man of sin is no more. That's what we're going to continue to do. Continue to convert. Remember when you read that other scripture that says, obey those that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul? Can I break down a little bit more what that is? You may automatically think that's me as pastor helping you to be directed. What if I told you it's the Lord himself and the angels? They are the ones that have the rule over you. And guess what? They work through me, through that written gospel, through that spiritual gospel, and the word comes out, but they are the ones that really you have to obey. So all I do is bring it through me, and you look at me and say, well, I guess I need to obey the word he spoke. Yes, that's true, because they spoke it. They have the rule, don't they? The heavenly has the rule, doesn't it? The apostle has the rule, doesn't it? That's the angel, isn't it? So this is what's going to happen. So yes, that's what that really means. And it's going to work through the elder or the apostle that's there to bring these words to you so you can live thereby. That's how you're going to live. Does that make sense? Makes a lot of sense. So let the angel be glorified, man. Let him be sanctified in your life. And that's going to be a cool thing. You be sanctified. You be glorified in your life, because God's trying to glorify you. God is trying to glorify you right now. Wow. Anybody have any questions for me about where? All of this is true.
Sometimes you come to me with a dream.
Yes.
And you'll say, that's not true. But if you just look at it.
It's true, Ma.
It is true.
It's true.
Because the Lord did it to me. And I sat on the side of my bed. I said, that is not true. And I was arguing, so I was already offended. And I said, I looked at what God was trying to tell me. And it dawned on me, that is true. You do that. And from then on, just like you said, it's a conversion. That line is right there. And all it takes is you to think about what God is trying to show you. And you can either go one or two ways. You can stay in the sin, in the darkness, in the flesh, and allow the man of sin to keep on stirring you up to stay in that spot. But that day, I realized what God was trying to show me was
true
about me. And it didn't take anybody put me on blast. God put me on blast.
He does that.
Right to myself. I was looking at myself when I thought about it. And I said, you do that. Yes, you do. That is true. So from that day, and you know what it was about? It was about pride. Ooh. And I believe what the dream told me and showed me. And I can see where the first thing that had to happen, I had to believe what God
believe.
Was showing me. And then from then on, things start changing.
And you obeyed.
Yes. It went through the whole thing. But I do remember that time when you said it. I said, that's that dream that I had, sitting on the side of the bed, where I said, that was not me. And then I realized when I thought about it, that is you. That's you. And that has to change. So that's where it started, right there.
So sometimes does God give it to you direct?
Yes.
Oh, sure. You've come to realizations before, direct, haven't you?
Yes.
You've been thinking about something, all of a sudden you come to it, oh, wait a minute, and you caught it? What makes you think God doesn't do that? That he doesn't resurrect? Go ahead, Ma.
No, I'm done.
Is that cool? Sometimes it comes from me, though. It's because you see an image, you start to hate the image. Don't hate the image. Listen to the words the image is giving you so you can become more perfect. I'm serious. Hard to do. Cast it away. Just want to give you a visual image. Again, this sword will cut. It will cut. It doesn't care who it cuts either. I don't care how big timey you are. It'll cut you. It will. Did it cut Apostle Paul? He was on his way to Damascus. That sword worked, didn't it? It worked. And he was a changed man after that, wasn't he? Good example right there. He let God do this thing, man. I'm going to be coming to some of y'all ahead of now. I'm going to show you the things God has shown me in discernment. When you open the door, I'm going to walk through. Get prepared. Those of you that attend here online, get prepared. Because God's been opening more doors. That's the reason I say that. He's been opening more doors. And I say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? That's what I'm going to do. And I want you to think about what I'm telling you. Don't get offended. Don't get angry. Don't go into condemnation or guilt, fear, shame, accusation. Don't go into it. Come to the little thin line right here, and let's flip over and convert. That's the very time God's going to convert. You say, well, I'm upset. And this thing is going. That's the very time God wants to convert. He wants to do it then. He said, listen. What's that little boy online? Listen, Linda, a little boy that tells his mama, that's talking to his mom, said, listen, Linda. No, listen, saints, listen. When we get to this little line, we're going to flip it. Pew! And we're going to help you come out on the right side of it instead of the wrong side. Don't get caught up in all your bluffery stuff up here. Getting swole up. What does it say? Knowledge puffeth up. You got your own knowledge through that flesh? It's wrong. I'm just going to say straight out, it's wrong. Listen to what I'm telling you through the Spirit of God. What you think, 9 times out of 10, is not it, because that's why God's sending me to you. So let's change it. Let's change it. Is that cool? Man, I'm just telling you, that's the thing. Yep, couldn't take it, could he? Too puffed up, too much worldly sorrow about himself. Feel sorry for me because I'm not going to give up all my stuff. Oh, sorrowful. Feel sorry for me. No, that's death. Why would I want to bring death to you? Does that make sense? Anybody else have a question? Comment? All right, online, I hope you can see that thing. Hope you heard what I said today. Truth above all is what's going to happen, and we're going to speak it to you. Yes. Convert. You're right on the line. He's ready to convert, but you've been blinded by that mess you got your thoughts into. But this is where Jesus is right at. He's going to say, okay, let's convert, but you don't pay attention to it. Boom, convert. Let's bring it to the right thing. It's so quick. It's so easy, guys. I'm seeing it more and more. Hope you have a good day today.